Tonight's talk is on meta and personality. Meta, or loving kindness, is an open-hearted concern for all beings. It's a blissful state. It does not cling, and therefore there is no dukkha, no suffering in it. Metta is peaceful and joyous. So are all its other aspects, or Brahma-viharas. When metta encounters suffering, it responds with compassion, which includes no suffering for the person who feels it, because of this element of not clinging. Compassion comes into our hearts along with the joy of loving the being who suffers. When metta encounters joy in other beings, it responds with sympathetic joy, but it doesn't go into a frenzy of rapture, because without clinging, there is peace. And that peace supports equanimity, enabling the mind, heart, to hold the truth of all that is with even-handed metta. Metta and its three sibling Brahma-viharas are accessible to us all. This is a basic part of our life experience. On an absolute level, there is no ongoing separate self. This is the basic Buddhist teaching of anatta, that we aren't fixed things, but ongoing processes. On this level, free of the clinging to the self, our nature is that of a Buddha, kind and loving to all beings without exception. But we usually live here on the relative level, in which we occupy a space on this planet and in human society. Here, we have an influence on and are influenced by everything around us. So we function in this world on both the absolute and the relative level. We are ever-changing processes, including the processes that make up the bodies that others identify as us. For convenience, or because we're just being inattentive, we all develop mental habits. Some of these habits or mind states help us function in this world. They're shortcuts. We don't have to go through the whole process of deciding something complicated every time it comes up. But others of these habits torment us. They are the source of most of our dukkha. Together, all of these habits make up what are called our personalities. We all have at least one of them. We call some aspects of our personalities good and others bad. We also identify the personalities of others as good or bad. So while on the absolute level, we do love and care about all beings, on a relative level, where we function in this world, we love a few, hate a few, and are indifferent to most. Or we may love almost everything about most beings. So this leads to the conundrum of life on the relative level. All this good and bad hardens into desire and aversion. Those feelings cause clinging and thus suffering for us. And through our behavior as a result of that, they cause suffering for others too. When we can remember that we also function on that absolute level, it gets easier to let go and reduce this suffering. Just having a practice helps us remember this. Sometimes just knowing that we can end suffering is enough to let us redirect our thinking and emotions. Now, we can practice in a way that strengthens mental habits that support peace and happiness for all beings, including, of course, ourselves. And one of the habits that we most want to strengthen is metta in its various forms. We do have this capacity for universal love. In relative terms, you might think of this as our Buddha nature. But in absolute terms, it is the heart mind's ability to love without clinging. This capacity can often be seen during crises, and it can come out in some very unlikely people. I don't know if you've seen the movie Crash, but very early in it, a racist cop tormented an interracial couple just for the malicious fun of it. And then there was a crash later in the movie, and when that happened, that cop risked his life to get the woman that he had abused out of that burning car. His mind heart reached out beyond his mental habit of bigotry. And he recognized her as a sentient being in dire need. His capacity for loving kindness moved him to do whatever he could to help, putting himself in extreme danger to do it. In general, on the relative level, we know that life would be better if we developed our capacity to regard all beings with metta. We get frustrated that we don't just have it. But the thing is, it's an ability as much as it is this feeling of loving kindness. It may help to remember that your disliking some people doesn't make you a bad Buddhist or unable to achieve liberation. You know that you have been liberated from various things. Habits that you just don't do anymore. So you're free now from the dukkha that those habits caused you. That's liberation. Similarly, by increments that you may not see, you can develop the capacity you have for metta. Even the frustration or shame that you may feel when you realize that you do hate some part of somebody's personality, that shows the strength of your ability to love absolutely. Just failing for a moment doesn't mean you can't do it. Like a muscle, you build this ability to love as metta each time you steer your mind and heart toward it. You do have the potential to act like the Buddha and care about all beings without exception. The Buddha compared this kind of love to what a mother feels for her child, her only child. This capacity would move you to throw all you had into helping someone survive, no matter their politics, religion, socioeconomic status, or whatever usually makes you dislike people. And you have a personality. So do the people around you, those you like or dislike. So do most animals. We're all like molecules that have these different qualities that connect with or repel the qualities of other molecules. It's no surprise then that we have built into us this automatic response of desire or aversion to everything we encounter called vedana. We have so many traits in these personalities of ours, which gives us so many ways of connecting and interacting with other beings. Sometimes those connections are wholesome and loving. At other times, not so much. Still, there's this underlying potential for goodwill toward every being, friend and stranger alike. So how can we tune in more to absolute metta? Well, we can practice. The traditional practice of metta is to silently repeat phrases of goodwill. In order to develop metta as a mental habit, a personality trait, there are various sets of traditional phrases that have been around for millennia. And a lot of practitioners usually end up with their own sets that will change with their circumstances. My metaphrases went from, may you be happy, to may you feel peaceful. Because there's so much confusion about the nature of happiness. Most people today think it depends on external things and events. I want to focus on the state of mind that comes from being free of dukkha. And also, I didn't want it to sound like magical thinking. Poof, may you be happy. But peaceful, may you feel peaceful. Something accessible to all of us right in the moment. And so is metta. In life, there are times when the heart just naturally does open and fill with metta, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. We are practicing metta when we hold the intention to recognize it whenever it arises and let the mind, heart, body be filled with the joy and beauty of it. Now, often we treat those moments like a breeze that carries the scent of flowers like jasmine. Lovely, but fleeting. And then we forget it. In daily life practice, we can learn to stop and breathe that in, intentionally savoring the experience of loving kindness like something delicious. There's a poet named Matrasita. He was born in India about the first century AD. And he wrote a long poem in praise of the Buddha that include this stanza. You were kind without being asked. You were loving without reason. You were a friend to the stranger and a kinsman to those without kin. I love that notion of loving without reason. Couples, certainly in the early period, will ask each other, well, why do you love me? And I don't know that the answer without reason would be well accepted, but that's metta. Just, you don't need a reason. And to be a kinsman to those without kin, to take them into the family of your heart. When we consider how the Buddha gave up his status, his wealth, and his family, and devoted his life to help and love all beings without exception, we are inspired to try to live our lives as instruments of peace. Even though generosity has come easily to me, probably because I've never been very attached to material things, I get annoyed or angered by behaviors of others. It pulls me back into the notion that I need to defend myself, usually by avoiding that person or animal. But I can't just walk away from all people and live off the land. For one thing, there's barely enough wilderness left for wild animals. As Pema Chodron says, we have to start where we are. And that's here, as embodied awareness. We have these personalities that push and pull inside us and push and pull with all beings around us. The fact that you do dislike people doesn't make you a bad Buddhist or unable to achieve liberation. You have been liberated often from little things, habits you don't do anymore, so that you're free from the dukkha that those habits caused. Just like the rest of us, you have a personality, and so do the people you dislike. We have so many traits which give us so many ways of connecting or conflicting with others. And still there's this underlying potential for unguarded goodwill toward every being, friend, enemy, and stranger. And this universal goodwill becomes apparent during times of crisis. And when the crisis is over, there's often a bit of nostalgia that we feel about it. I'm enjoying the friendliness that's become so common during this COVID-19 social distancing. For years, Carla and I have taken a walk every day, a route with hills that keeps our hearts and our joints healthy. We're known around the neighborhood as the walkers. Now that I'm out there hobbling around again after being confined for 8 weeks with a broken ankle, I'm being greeted by people whose names I don't know. And they tell me that they're so glad to see me because they were worried that I had succumbed to COVID-19. It gives me goosebumps just to remember it. It's so supportive. It felt healing to me, physically and mentally. I love our house and our backyard garden, but I've missed this sense of community on our daily walks for months now. You know, maybe our neighbors are friendly to us because we're friendly to them, but it's still a wonderful form of metta. It's reassuring to see that loving kindness can operate on both the relative and the absolute levels. Now, I know from a lot of practice reviews that I've done over the decades now that it's common to worry whether we have enough metta in our hearts, but that's really not the issue. In my teens, long before I encountered the concept of metta, I noted in my journal that I found it so much easier to love all humanity than to love people. And now that I've studied our species from as many angles as I've been able to find in my lifetime, I'm really aware that collectively we have as many flaws as we do individually. This is what we are. It is our challenge to resist giving up on developing metta just because we get grumpy or aversive toward others. It's going to happen. We still have this capacity for universal love. We just need to develop it whenever we can. In meditation, we can say phrases that make it more and more of a mental habit. It's like a muscle. The more often we flex it, the stronger it gets. And it's not a thing that we have or don't have. It's a capacity. It's an ability to hold people in this way of unconditional goodwill. In daily life, we can practice it whenever it arises spontaneously by celebrating it joyfully. As we just go about our daily activities, we can practice finding lovable things about others. Just pick a stranger on the street, in the grocery store, and find something appealing about them, just as a practice. And there are many more ways that we can encourage this beautiful state of being. And now I look forward to hearing your experiences in developing metta. Thank you.